Hello, and welcome to our webinar today. We're happy to be with you and sharing hopefully some great information that will help you in your website. First, I would like to introduce myself. I'm Bruce Ekman. I'm the president and CEO of EasyNet Tools, and I will be your host today. And we have with us as our presenter today, Joseph West. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm just fine. Glad to be with you.
All righty. So, Joseph, are you there and getting control?
Yes, I just clicked on the button. We should be coming up here quickly.
Okay. So the webinar that we're going to go through today is basic web design. And take it away, Joseph.
Okay. These are the basic outline of the topics we're going to cover today. First of all, we're going to talk about what makes a good website, what are the issues, the things to, in general. And then we'll start with what things you should plan. You know, start with the end in mind, planning. And then don't bury your offering. Make sure it's easy for people to find out what it is get the message of what you're trying to do. Make a navigation so people can get around in your website and find what they're after. If they want to, if you're ordering, they can find that easily. We also make it very easy to understand your message. It's not always obvious, so we want to talk about that. Build to the least common denominator. That isn't referring back to a math question, but some issues that you need to be thinking about. And then you need to make it easy to find you. And this deals with the search engine optimization, how to work with the search engine's websites so they can find you. And then, as Bruce mentioned, we'll end with a question and answer period. Let's go back and start talking about what is a good website. And that's very subjective. And when you really get down to it, it's one that meets your needs. And your needs may be unique and may be different from other people's. And so you need to be thinking about what you need. And contrary to that, you look at what are you receiving the orders? Are your customers, when they visit your website, are they raving about it? You get that feedback talking about it. Are you getting a lot of traffic deep into your website that they're going beyond the home page? And if you are getting these things, you're probably doing everything right. But then you might want to just consider some of these things to maybe improve that. Or if you're redesigning your website or want to start out, or you're not having those kinds of things, then the things in this particular webinar will help you with that. Okay. Now, again, the thing to remember is beauty is in the eyes of the beholder on a website. We often run across that problem as we're designing websites for our people. Our designers will think that something's great, and then they show it to the customer, and they don't like it at all. And so you got to make sure it meets your objective. Let me give you an example of a particular website. This is Stillwell House Antiques. I was visiting this website and reviewing the website while I was talking with a particular customer. And he's got a good website. He'll have a number of good principles, uses them quite well on his website. But if you were to go deeper into it under the particular products, I thought the web pages could be better designed, a little more lined up. The images could be the same size. And we have a catalog that he could use a lot better, so it'd be much more efficient. And so I made that comment to him. And he, after I talked for a little while, he said, "Now, Joseph, you don't understand. I sell expensive antiques that are unique, and they're not what you're going to find at any other store." And he didn't want to have the people think that he was buying this stuff from his store, was not buying it from a cookie cutter big box store. And so if he made it so it looks so fancy and so precise, it will look, give it that impact. He says, "I purposely have made my pages so they look individualistic. All the pages or images I have about a particular table or a particular piece of furniture is very unique, and I want that whole flavor to come through." And so in that case, he looked at it and maybe used a different principle than I would have used, but it worked very well for him and his environment. And he had given it some thought. It wasn't just a casual thing that he had done. It was something he had planned on it. And did it as part of a overall plan that he had. Now, this course is based on the ideas we're going to present are based on tried and true principles. We've been in the business now for over 15 years of building websites, and we've literally worked with thousands of websites with our customers, and we're investigating other people and looking at competitors and stuff like that. And so professionally and both personally, we're very familiar with the website and what seems to work. And also in deciding how to build websites and how to design our tools, we spend a lot of time reading on the subject. And there's one person that seems to come back pretty regularly as somebody who's got some ideas that are pretty well worked, is Jacob Nielsen.
The guru, Jacob Nielsen?
Yes. Yep. He's the website guru that, and he's very opinionated. And people said he's too opinionated. But one thing you've got to say for him is he's backed his thoughts and his principles with actual research. He will get people in a laboratory, turn videos on them, and watch what they do. He'll give them assignment and watch what they do. So he's very into that thought that, if he says something, he's given it some thought. So it's pretty important. Then remember again, these are guidelines. They are not commandments. You can break them in the right circumstances, and we'll see a couple of those, and they work fine, but you need to at least have thought, now, given this some thought, is this, I'm going to do it this way because, and there's a very good reason for that. So you need to be keep them in mind. They'll help you. Now, let's start with the very first one is start with the end in mind. What that's really saying is you need to plan this ahead. I'm a little bit of a woodworker, and I learned very quickly that you can't cut a board longer. As soon as you've cut one too short, you've got to get another board. And so they use the term in there, measure twice and cut once. And then I saw another person in an article that said, you really ought to spend more time designing your project before you even measure it, and that way you won't waste as much wood or time. And so I'm suggesting the same thing. You should spend most of your time planning a project or a website. You spend a little more time in designing it. And then if you've done that right, then you will spend the least time building, and the building will actually go very, very fast. And that's an overall guideline. Even with that, I believe in it, but occasionally you need to do a little bit of prototyping and try a few things. So there will be some exceptions, but the more time you can spend planning, the better off you're going to be, and you'll save yourself some time in the end. And it'll be better. It'll be better able to meet these goals. Then you should develop a clear goals and objectives. When you get into a website, especially if you've got a fairly complex one or you've got a committee that's working on it, it's very easy as you get into it. There'll be a lot of options that'll come up, and pretty soon, in the dust of the construction of your website, you lose direction of what you're really trying to do. And it's really nice to be able to go back and say, hey, what are we really doing this for? What is our purpose? What do we want to do? And it's very helpful to have that clear in mind. Writing it down is very helpful. And this is often unpleasant work, but if you do it, it will help you and guide you throughout the work of the website. The next thing is you should make sure that the graphic elements support that objective. for example, if you're going to do a particular thing, you want to make sure it's there. Now, I'll show you an example here of one that where the objectives really match up. If you're going to build a website for children, aimed at children, then you're going to do certain things that are targeted for children. For example, you'll use a lot of primary colors and bright colors that appeal to children. Your images of the children will be there. And also, I'll show you something. One thing here that's actually violating another principle is over here, they have a lot of different fonts and a lot of different colors. And on a professional website for a business, like for a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist, you would not want to have that. But for a children's website, that is perfect. It helps get you to the point of, your target audience there. And here's another one that's different. This is for a hunting group that want to be able to push the Western theme and the outdoors, and you can see all the elements, the visual elements, the titles, all point to that. And so that is a good example of where your graphics and that meet towards your goal. They're leading you towards that. Now, the structure of your website should also meet that same objective. that website we just came from, the organization of the pages, the next page you would see, for example, that you go to hunting or fishing, that's all very evident right there, right at the very beginning. And that's important because a lot of times, if you're in a committee form, you'll cop a lot of different ideas, and people have there what they want, and another group wants something else. And you need to make sure that those all tie together when you're done, that they meet your objective. So that's very important that you work towards that so that the structure meets your objective. And then finally, you ought to, as you're planning, be planning for search engine optimization. A lot of times when you're the first thing you're thinking about is, well, what's the design? What's it going to look like? And that's what people focus on. You get your design, you show it to your boss or your coworkers, your mother-in-law or whatever, and get their feedback, and then you go ahead and plan on that. Then after it's all up, you say, well, wait a minute, I'm not getting very many hits. And you need to structure it so that you plan for the search engine to find it. We had one customer that had, she was in custom jewelry, wanted a really beautiful site. We developed one for her. And then when a couple of months had gone by and there were no one hitting there, she said, well, that was the most important thing. And so she needed to have thought about that up front, and you need to, and we'll discuss that later, are things you need to keep in mind to make sure that it meets the needs of the search engines. Because that when you're done with all the design and you showed it all off and it's got all the approval, you're going to want to make sure that people can actually find you. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Don't bury your offering. Now, I'm going to show you some examples here to give you an idea. That doesn't sound obvious. That people, why would somebody do that? Well, I'll show you a couple of things here. But one principle you should have in mind is you have 3 seconds to convince your visitors to stay. In this day and age, people have a very, very, very short attention span. And when they're browsing for information, there are a lot of competitors, and you've got to get them and want to make them stay there, and you've only got about 3 seconds to get their attention to make them want to stay. So if your message isn't there, you're in trouble. And you need to make sure your message is clear, and you need to make sure that you don't cloud your message with non-essential information. So that message needs to be clear from the very, very beginning. Now let's bring a couple examples here. This is a website for a product that was really sort of intriguing to me. We live in an area where we get a lot of snow and ice in the winter. And this product, I found this website, and this is the best defense against snow and ice. And I thought, well, I want one of those. I really need some help. But I wasn't quite sure what it did. I mean, the site's nice. It's got good graphics. It's pleasing. The pictures are very good. Very clear what the shape of these items are. Then I thought, well, what are they? What are these for? Do they go on my car? Do they go on my boots? Where do they fit? And after some looking around, I finally got into picture and deep in the website and found a picture that wasn't very clear, but eventually I looked at it and it said, oh, these go on a roof. And if you actually go back here, if you eventually get into the second paragraph, there is finally a referral to a roof. And so what these are, if you have a metal roof, these little things you put near the eaves to keep the snow from sliding off, protect against snow and ice. And so it took me a while, several minutes, to find out what this website was all about. Now, this next website, I want you to tell me in 3 seconds to see if you can tell what it's about. What is this website? What do they do? What do they do? And you should get a pretty clear idea pretty quickly. This is a construction company of some sort. The guy's on a roof. You can catch that. The logo's up there indicates that. You've got some pictures of some homes. You might want to do some one thing you might want to do here is make it so it's when you look at those houses, they're you can't tell whether they're highlighting the roof or not. But that's something you can look at. But your very first impression on that gives you the feeling that this is a roofing company. And they find it out in 3 seconds. So that's an important thing to do. Now, there is a trend on the internet often to have a splash page. Now, what a splash page is when somebody types a new URL, a page comes up that leads to a fancy introduction that looks great. You know, the president may have had a video or something like that of his company, this product, and goes through all this stuff, and he's all excited about it. He wants to work at it. And so people get excited about them, but in the real world, you've got to use them very, very carefully. Let me give you an example of one. Here's one splash page. This is the first thing you go to when you type in their domain name. And you say, well, I don't even know what this is about. I'm commercial or technical. Now, later on in this presentation, I'll show you what happens when you click on these, because it gets even worse than this. But you can't tell what this website is. And this is for an advertising agency. Now, again, their clientele may be looking for this kind of thing where they like to hunt, peck, and find things. And if your clientele's like that, that's fine. But you're going to sort of, if you do that, all the other people are probably not going to like it. So you need to be careful of how you do this, and choose to do so wisely. Okay. Now, the next major principle we need to talk a lot about, and this is probably the most important one on all of them, is easy navigation is good navigation. You can mess up on almost everything else, but if you have good navigation, you can have a winning website. If you have a wonderful-looking website but the navigation is poor, you're going to struggle. So this is really the heart of the principles, to make sure that the navigation works really, really well. Now, there are a couple of places to put the navigation. Jacob Nielsen's done this, where he's studied where people's eyes go when they see a website. And what he has said is, he said, the best places to have navigation is across the top. Now, like this will give you an example. He says, here are the places that people go to find navigation. They typically go up here on the top, right under the header. The next place is right along here on the left-hand side. You want to be on the left-hand side or across the top. Those are the places where people are going to look. If you don't have it there, you're going to run into some problems. Now, let me show you a couple of examples of some things that with that. So let's get this thing to go on. Okay, there we go. Okay, so you don't want to put the navigation above the header. Here, for example, is example of our local Chamber of Commerce. Really quite a nice website. As you can see, they've done a number of good things. They've got the navigation under here, and then they've got some more links here, and that's really quite nice. And a couple of times I wanted to call the local city, and I couldn't find the phone number. And I'd look all the links. I went up and down the page. They had some links on the bottom. Couldn't find it. And finally one day I realized they're up here. Here's the contact us, and had a very good page, but my eyes drew a border right there, and Jacob Nielsen says the same thing is right there. People often do not look above that when they're looking for navigation, so be very, very careful. And this site, and I'll talk about that in a second here, you actually see has three places of navigation. Got up here, and over here, and pretty soon people can get tired of knowing where to go look to find out. You don't want to make that happen. Now, here's an exception to that that will work, and that is when you actually make the navigation part of the header itself. So we've used that here, and then that works very effectively. People know that's where they need to go for the navigation. Now, it's a little bit confusing because they have this section here that's also for navigation, and that is not quite as good. This used to be on this website. That was the very bottom. Now they've added some other things here. It's actually made it just a little more confusing. And so that's one of an example of a good one, but some things over time, they let it work, and it makes it a little more difficult to actually find the information they're going to. So you've got to be very careful about putting the navigation in multiple locations. Yeah, you can make a lot of links, and then people can't find it. So be very careful about that. And so, okay, now the next section is, it should take three clicks to get anywhere. Your navigation, you don't want to make it so deep that they can't find what they're looking for fast. Now, once you get somebody in there and you've got them on a particular product that they are very, very interested in, you can go quite a bit deeper. But you've got to get them so they're interested into that point. And once their interest is high, then you can keep that up. But generally, you need to think real hard, make sure that they can get anything that's major in their website in three clicks. Now, I'm going to show you an example of one that doesn't work. Remember the one I was showing you a while ago that had the splash page? And let me show you how you actually get to the page. You come into here, and if you click on this button here, then you go to this page that has a flash that goes on. It goes on for, 30 seconds or something like that. And then you come to this page with this pen and the lettering there. No navigation at all. And I thought, what am I supposed to do? And I finally said, well, let me just try if I click on the page. So I clicked on the page, and voila, up jumped the navigation. So I had to go four clicks before I could get to the navigation, before I really got to the home page. And I actually had to be a little bit curious and adventuresome to try to even bring up the navigation. Now, again, if their clientele likes this kind of stuff, and they're, that appeals to them, that's fine. But they need to realize that they're excluding a lot of other people. If they're in a hurry to find, they won't go through all that trouble. So that's one of the things the decision you need to make, what's going to work for you. The next issue is the rule of sevens. And what that basically rule is when people are presented with more than seven options, it starts to get a little bit confusing. People start to skip over navigation. When I get more than seven, my eyes just glance over certain things, and I have a hard time seeing them. People get confused. So generally, you want to consolidate on any one page to try to keep your navigation options to seven or less. Now, there are a couple ways to do that. I'm going to show you some, but we had a question up last week that drop-down menus are a very helpful way to do that. But now here's a website that just a very simple website, only has four options across the top. That's very, very easy and nice to use. Here's another one has some interesting navigation. And actually, I'm going to come back to this one multiple times because it has a couple of good principles and a couple of ways they violated it. And yet it works. Now, across here, they have, their main navigation, and they've kept it close to the, so they don't have it's not too bad. It is above these images, so that's probably not the best place. It might have been better to put it down in here. But then you come over here, and you look at all this long navigation. And this is probably a bit of an exception, because when somebody gets to this point, they are looking for specific things, and they'll be looking straight down here. They've helped out a little bit because they've done some indenting. So sometimes you can do that. You can have seven main ones, and then you can have indentations, and so you can get away with it. And that helps people, their eyes as they scan it, because that's what people are doing when they first come here. They're scanning it. And so you notice that these are bold. The major ones are bold. They come on down. So that's this is one where they've sort of stretched that guideline a little bit. But it's working quite well. Now, one question I want you to think about this site is, remember I talked about hiding your message? Does this website hide its message? When I first reviewed this message by our design team, I said, this is a real problem, because I read this website and I couldn't tell what they do. I said, bird dogging for you, that's not a very good URL, and they don't describe what they're doing here. It's obviously something to do with farm equipment. And I said, hey, Joseph, no, you don't understand. And they brought this up with the person that wanted us to design. It says, in this particular location, bird dogging means something. That means you're selling used equipment. And that's a well-known term that they use in that area. So anybody who comes to this website for their target audience, they're going to know exactly what this website is for, both by the name and the images that are on it. And so that's a case where they are targeting it towards their market, and they know what it is. Now, here's another website that I use personally. And you look at it, and you say it's a rule of sevens. Interesting here is you come over to this section on the navigation. It's in the right spot, but it's even hard to tell where one part of the navigation begins and where isn't. And you've got quite a few there, and it gets very confusing. Now, I'm going to discuss this website a couple of times, because one, it was the one I was interested in. I actually purchased something from this website almost in spite of it. but that's one where you want to use the rule of sevens a little better. Now, again, I'll come back to that because it has some good and bad things. One good thing about it is the navigation is regularly all on the same spot. Now, this is an interior page to that, and remember I said, the rule of sevens, they definitely exceed it on this page. Almost everything down here is a link, and it's not even sorted alphabetically. And so you have to start hunting for what you wanted. It turns out what I wanted was right here, the easy series, but I had to hunt around to actually find that. This navigating on this one, I had to really, really want this product, or I wouldn't have bought it. You should use important words in the navigation. That serves two purposes, one for search engine optimization, which I'll talk a little bit more, but also if a word is important for you, it's a keyword, then the navigation ought to use that word because that's what people searched for when they typed it into the internet. It's what they're going to find, and that's what they're going to be expecting to find here. This Bird Doggin website, again, is that example. They probably have used the keywords of like the tractors or loaders or combines or grain handling or hay equipment. These are terms that people are going to be using as they search for this website, as they search it, and then when they finally get to it, that's what they're going to be using. So that's a good way to use those keywords within the navigation. The other thing is you want to make sure that you can basically get anywhere from anywhere. You shouldn't have to backclick or use the up on your browser to get back to where you wanted to go. They need to be able to move around. The navigation should make them be able to move around, not up and then down, up and back, up and back. You want to be able to go all over the place. And I'll show you a couple of examples of that. Here's a simple one for the Upper Valley Art Guild. This navigation here at the header is on every page. Every single page will have this navigation. So no matter how deep you get into that, if you want to go and find out members or the calendar, you can go find it. And so you want to make sure that you keep it. That's a good one. Now here's an example of one that isn't so good. It's for a church website. They have pretty good navigation over here. But when you click on staff, if you click on staff over here, this is what you come up with. Oh, that's really nice. We can see who the people are, the main principles and all their stuff, and the page goes down and down and down. But now you're done, and you want to go somewhere else on the website. I mean, it's really hard. It turns out if you go clear to the bottom of this page, you will find a button that says Home that will take you back to this page. And so no matter where you go, you have to come back to this page, but it's not obvious. When you get to this page, you have to go looking. So if it weren't persistent, you would get stuck on this page and have a difficult time getting back up to the home page or any of the other pages where you were. So that one's an example you can get stuck really easily. And then make it easy for people to learn about you and to contact you. If somebody gets to your website and they're interested and they have a question, you want to make sure that they can get to you. If not, you're going to lose some credibility. Let me give you an example. A little while ago, one of our employees was signed up for this video game service and had some problems, and they wanted to contact this vendor to find out how to resolve this problem. Came to the website, nothing up here, nothing at all. They've got all these links, and each one of these down here also has each one of these will also have a big drop-down menu, and there's a lot of options here. And if you go clear down to the bottom of the page, there are whole sections of links, places to go. And if you look hard enough in there, you will find a link that says Contact Us. Okay? And if you click on that, you get to see this page. This page is you enter your email address, enter all this other stuff, fill it all out, answer your question, and then you can submit it. Well, if she's tried that and hasn't got an answer, there's no other way to contact them. If you don't get an answer from this, how do you solve it? And you know how she finally solved that problem? She finally went out on the web, looked up this service, found it on a blog where somebody was complaining about the service, and there they had the phone number of how customer service could actually be handled. And I'm not sure that's how you want people to find your information. The other thing is if you are developing a website with lots of pages and very depth of knowledge, you want to make sure that you have a search feature. And we're very familiar with that. If you've gone to places like Amazon.com, if you go to like newspaper websites, our EasyNet Help website has a lot of deep ones. You want to be able to find them easily. Then you ought to have a search box like this on every page. And you can put it in the header or the footer or something like that. It's one of the big points that Jacob Nielsen has on his is if you have a complex site, you need to have that. All right, let's go on to the next section, in which we're make it easy to understand your message. There's you've got a good message, you've got good navigation. You need to make sure that it's easy to read and understand. I'm going to go through some of these slides that you've seen before. We're going to go back to this bicycling site. And if you get there, you look at it and say the fonts. Look at all the different fonts that are used on this website. You got a font in the logo, which is all right. But then you go to here, you got another font. You got another font along here. Each one of these navigation things seems to change font. Got a font here, a font there. And that's that doesn't lead to a real professional image of what you want. You know, the site worked. I did buy my product there, which is, by the way, was a fairly expensive product. But I had to really want to find this product before it would really work. The other thing you want to look at is make sure that your text and the background go well together, either that there's good contrast, that you can see it real well, or that it isn't disturbing to you. I don't know about you, but when I look at that website, my eyes get tired and I almost want to start to water. It's really sort of hard to read and to focus on this because that red is so bright and it just hurts your eyes. You could easily do this by making the red just a little darker. You could put a pattern on it, something that's not quite so dark. And even if you'd used like white lettering on it, it probably would have been easier on your eyes. So you can, if you're not careful with this, because you can make all these bright colors and all the other things, I mean, the red may make want a statement, but they're focused on the red rather than what your image, what you're really dealing with. The other thing, now you want to make sure that your website has a consistent look and feel on all your pages. And that means consistent navigation, consistent graphical elements, and consistent layout. And that makes people feel comfortable with your website. Once they've gotten onto it, they learn how to use it, they know how to get around, they're very comfortable. They will learn pretty quickly if you have sort of a unique navigation, if you're consistent, if you follow through on it. Again, I want to go back to this other example I had of this Baptist church where they had a couple of elements that were good. The color stays the same, which is good. You're sort of only on the website, but the navigation changes. And so you can't get around. You have to. It's really tough to work around this website. And so you want to try to make sure that you use the consistent navigation, that the graphic elements are the same. It's good to have a constant header. So it'd be better if, for example, the header graphic on this were the same as up here. As simple as this is, if it were the same up here, you get the same feeling that you're on the exact same website, and people get to feel that comfortable, and they know how to work around the website. So those are some things you want to try. And as you do that, people will work on your website better. They'll feel more comfortable, and you'll get more success on it. Then you want to make sure that your pages load quickly. 10 years ago, that was really, really a problem for people using dial-up modems, and it'd take a long time for things to load. And that's not so much a problem now. But I will still run across occasionally places where people have not optimized their photos. They've uploaded a photo directly from their camera, and then using HTML, they force it to be a same size or a smaller size if it's on the page. The page still has to load that huge raw image before it downsizes it. And you'll notice that happening if you go on a website and you see the image doesn't display all at once, it starts playing line by line by line. then you know that image has not been optimized. And there's no reason not to do that, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you should make sure they load quickly, because if you do that, then your people get around. They don't even think about it so much. They're on to the next thing. And then you shouldn't hunt for a place for people to place your order. Again, I'm going to go back to this website on the bike accessory. As I mentioned, I really wanted the screen that goes on this bike. I've got a bike like similar there, and these are pricey elements. And I thought about it for a good year, and I really tried to find a place to buy this. And it turns out I clicked on the dealers, and when I did that, the closest place was 250 miles away. And I thought, gee, I just can't do this, because if I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars on this product, I want to make sure I've got a good look at it. So finally, I did find the contact, called the guy, left a message. I thought nothing's going to happen here. It turns out he called me right back, talked about what we wanted, placed the order. He went out and custom built it that afternoon, and I had it 2 days later. So a good service, but it was a little bit hard for me to order it. And he got that. You know, if you're going to spend several hundred dollars, you ought to make it really easy for people to get to do that. I'm going to go through this section a little bit quickly. It's not as critical as the others, but something you need to keep in mind. It's very easy as you buy a brand new computer, big the screens now are getting very big. You'll build it to that feature. And we've had customers that have got a huge screen, and they want to make sure when we build the website that it fills the whole screen. They got all this content on and all this other stuff. And the problem is not everybody has that. And so some older person who's got an old computer that's 5 years old, they'll only be able to see part of it on their screen. It won't look very good. So generally, I would just suggest you build your page width for the monitor that you purchased 2 years ago. And if you do that, you're going to be good for probably a good 75 to 80% of the people out there, and it'll look fine. There's some people you're never going to be able to meet, but if you stay with the very newest stuff, the biggest one, you're going to have people who aren't going to be able to have a good experience on your website. And don't assume that people have a super fast connections. This goes back to the idea that we had of the, make sure it's optimized. You don't always know. And while people are getting a lot of really fast connections, not every device is like that. And I'll give you some thoughts. You know, there are a lot of mobile devices out there now. And sometimes on mobile things, the internet service is not quite as good. You don't know what it's going to be. So you want to make sure you don't have to have a super fast connection to see. That's really not that hard to do. You make sure your pages are the right size. And if you use our hit counters and the page manager, you can see about what size those pages are, and that'll really help you. So that's a thing to do. And along the same lines is be careful about loading the very latest plugins that you get, the latest Flash Player, the latest WhizBang or JavaScript or something like that. People may not have it, so be careful with that. And if you do some of those things, you want to make sure they can download it from your website. But again, be careful, because usually in about 2 years, everybody has it. Now, we get to the last section here. Make sure it's easy for people to find you. This is the search engine part. You want to make sure your website is built in such a way that the search engines work for you. And what that comes down to is you want to make sure that you use text on your website. You don't want to just have graphics. I mean, you can do that and it can look nice, but the search engines won't like that. I'll show you a couple of examples here of some good ones. You want to have some good text on it. This next one is a very widely used website. This is the White House website. Got a pretty good combination. You've got some graphic elements up there, but it's got a fair amount of text on there with a lot of content that will help you. Now, here's another one for a fishing company. And a couple of good elements here. First of all, you can tell right away what this is about, so that meets his three-second rule. But on here, he has a lot of text that describes what he's doing. Now, I'll show you, that's even more important here in a minute, but you want to make sure that the search engines read text. The search engines feed on text, not on graphics. They can't see it. And so the number of elements that are really good here, and I'll cover them again, I'll just highlight it briefly here. You've got all this text in here. It's using words that are very important for this website. Over here on the navigation links, they use the keywords that are being used. So this is a website that search engines will really like. Now here's a website that carries that to extreme. This is Jacob Nielsen. As I told you, he is really big into it, and he wants to make sure that anybody can find his stuff and it can be found in the search engine very quickly. He puts almost no graphics on his website. I think that's to an extreme, but I'll tell you what, his stuff pops up in the search engines all over the place. So if that were your utmost criteria, this would be good. He's actually got so much information on here, I think he's almost gone overboard because it's a little bit hard to find. It violates that rule of sevens that we've talked about. So you need to be just a little careful and use good judgment on that. So I've shown you some examples of both ways. Now, remember, as I said, search engines cannot see graphics. Now, I'll give you some examples of how that comes up. Now, here's a fairly recent website, very pretty, put out by Apple. This is their main website. If you type in apple.com today, this is what you'll see. Very good, comes across. Now, let me show you what a search engine sees. This is what the spiders that are going out, what they're going to see. They won't see any of those graphics. They're just going to see those words. Now, Apple can sort of get away from this because people know who Apple is. They have their following, and they can get away with that. But your website may not have that luxury. Interestingly enough, this is a fairly key-rich website, though, even without the image, because if you're looking for the keywords of Snow Leopard, which is their operating system, it's right there. And it's very dense. If you look at all the words on here, Snow Leopard is one of the key, it's very, very important. So that's there are some good things in that, but again, it doesn't show up. Now this is what the White House website looks like when you turn off all the graphics. It's still a fairly useful site. You can still get to the information you need and would be very search engine friendly because, I mean, even these things up here are what's called alt tags. For every graphic, they've got them there so that you can see what the image is about. This is a flash element, that which doesn't show up very well, but all the quotes here, all this information down here, doesn't even need to have any graphics. And so that's very good for search engines. By the way, that is also very good if you're trying to design something for people with disabilities, for example, people who have readers who are blind and they want to read that. A person who's blind and had a reader could get along quite well on this website and get the information out of it. And that's becoming more and more of an issue that you need to be thinking about as we build websites. You should make sure that the words that you put on the page are keyword rich. I go back to this website. If your keywords are dealing with fishing, the different kinds of things, the boats, the type of, you got a Marlin Tower, outriggers, these kinds of things. This and their particular location that they're in, they're after striped bass and bluefish, all those kinds of things are being used on there. And so that's a very helpful text-based website, and it's very keyword-rich in the words they're using and the location that they're in. So that's a very good example of one. Now, and again, consider, as I mentioned, that the text on there are also keyword-rich. And again, I go back to this one. With the bird dog, and these words over here are what people are going to be looking for. They're going to go into search engine and they're looking for, you know, combines, the area where this website will come up because it's based on those links. So it's really set up to work well on that environment. Again, you should use the alternate text in your keywords. That was an example. We saw that on the White House website. The search engines read those keywords that are in the alternate text, and it uses those to rank them. So even though it can't see the image, it knows what it's about. So you'll want to be sure and use that. Now, a little bit, going a little bit to the extreme, even your file names and the folders you store things in can be have the keywords associated with them. If you do that, plan that up ahead, that adds to, for example, if you're going to have a section on combines, you want to have a folder with combines on it. You may want to have different pages with it and says John Deere combines. You use the word combine in there a lot, then that's how that will work. And those the search engines look at that and say this must be an important topic because they use the word in the folder, they use it in the file name, then all the text on there and all the alternate tags and all the navigation use combines, then they'll rank that very high on what they're doing. Okay, and with that, we're pretty well wrapped up on this end, and we're open for questions. I'll turn the control over to you, Bruce.
Okay, let me take control here back, and we will roll into the question and answer side of it. So if anyone has a question out there, if you'd like to just go ahead and raise your hand, you can, if you have a microphone, you can click on the raise your hand button, and we'll be happy to unmute the microphone and take your question. If you would prefer, you can enter your question into the, open up the little control window and enter your question into the control box. So I've answered a few questions kind of along the way. I'm not a real tech guru at some of this stuff because I don't work at that level, so sorry there, I had to refer some people to tech support, but if you have any other questions, go ahead and bring them up now. So, okay, boy, it looks like we have either taken care of them already or don't have any questions. So, oh, here comes one. Let's see. I want to put my phone number on my homepage. How do I do it? And I'll answer that question. I'll give you a great answer. A lot of these things, a lot of the principles are built into the tools. And a lot of it we have built in specifically so that it will do them for you. And one of the things that we did originally with the tools is we set it up so that it will take your telephone number and your address and that information and list it on the bottom of every page. Because I have always felt that having that contact information there is incredibly important. It builds trust. It gets people past some concerns and worries, so they will place orders from you if you've got the information there. And so in my opinion, the best way to do that is to just go into the global information and click on the things that actually comes up default. So a lot of times people turn those off, but if you will click on those, it will show your contact information on the bottom of every page throughout your system. And you can do that relatively quickly if they're not there. You just make sure that information is correct in your master file, and it will display them on every page. A lot of these things, like I say, are built right into the tools so that they do that. If you use the global headers and use the global navigation, it makes it easy. And some people sometimes wonder why we've done the things and built the tools the way that we did originally years ago. You did not have the opportunity to turn those off or the option to turn those off. And we've been beat up so much that we allow people to turn those off. Sometimes we feel like we're allowing you to shoot yourself in the foot, but would strongly recommend on leaving those things in there so you've got your telephone number and your address and contact information on every page.
At least put it into the header graphic or in the footer graphic or something like that. If you're not going to use those built-in tools, which are easy if you're going to build a real quick website or some other things like that, but at least put it in there on it, and that way it appears on every page if it's in the header.
Yeah, we've actually done that on some of our sites. We actually put the phone number right on the side of the header, and that way you've only got one place to do it, and it's throughout the whole entire website if you use a consistent header. So, next question. In EasyNet Tools, is there a way to get the navigation on every page? Joseph, do you want to take that?
I think Bruce has covered that. One is you can use the global links that appear on the bottom of every page. Sometimes people turn that off because it doesn't quite fit within the design. But the other way to do that, we're using a lot of, is you put it in the global header. If we've covered our mirror blocks course, we strongly suggest that. You can use mirror blocks in the header. You can use mirror blocks for side navigation. And then you put them on every page. You just have, like, we often will build a template page that has the header and the navigation on it, and the other parts are blank. And then you just copy that back all the time, all the way through that.
And the mirror block is an incredibly good way to do that. And in the mirror block webinar, we covered that extensively. And so if you missed that webinar, I don't believe that's one that we've got up on EasyNetU, but we're probably pretty close to having that one. So you may want to watch for that one to be published again so you can go back and pick that one up. Because that one, that's really a good answer to making consistent navigation to your whole website is the mirror block.
And that's one of the best things we've got. Once you've got it up there, it is so easy to make it that consistent. It's on every page.
And it's so customizable, too. You can do it the way you want to. I'm not familiar of any other web tools out there that have the mirror block, which is an incredibly powerful tool for making your site very easy to maintain. So the next question is, what color combinations are best, and how do you find good combinations? Joseph, can you take that one too?
Yes, we there are a number of ways. We have a course on EasyNetU that talks about colors, and there's a couple of things that can point out what you can do there. I often will use a color wheel that has the colors arranged in a very specific order, and it can show you the colors that are close together. You can use colors that are complementary, that are on opposite sides of the color spectrum. For example, the Christmas is part of the reason Christmas colors are red and green are so bright is because they're on opposite ends of the color wheel, and they go very well together. Or even like a sunset is pretty because you've got yellows and purples together, and they make good contrast. So those are some things. There's I don't have it right on the top of my head. Tech support might have it, but there's Adobe has a website which you can key in like a color, and it'll give you some other colors to go with it. Both it'll make it high contrast, or it'll be just complement it very subtly. And so those are some ways to do that. The color wheel I found is easiest. I think on EasyNet store we have a place where you can buy that. We don't carry a lot in stock right now, but you can just go to, I think it's colorwheel.com if you're going to type that in. Or even go to any art supply store, they'd probably have that.
I think we still got a few of those in inventory, but not too many. But
We really ought to sell more of them because it's a very handy tool that help you pick the colors, and I use it a lot. They have the advantage that particular one is designed for web and has web-safe colors, which is not quite as critical as it was 4 or 5 years ago. But if you do use web-safe colors, you always can be pretty well guaranteed what it's going to look like when it comes out. So,
okay. We've got a question from John. Let me unmute your microphone here, John. Okay, it should be unmuted. Go ahead, John. Are you there? Okay, John, apparently your microphone is not working. So if you would like to go ahead and just type the question into us, we will answer it. So, okay, still not getting anything there. All righty. Well, looks like we've pretty much gone through all the questions. So if you do have any additional questions, you could give us a call. Our telephone number is 208-356-8361. And then you could just click on the appropriate menu number for tech support, and they'd be glad to answer any questions and help you there. Also, you could email us at support@easynettools.net, support@easy-nettools.net, and they would be happy to answer any additional questions regarding what we've talked about today or any other topics about the tools that they could answer for you. We hope that this information has been helpful for you. We covered a lot of information, and obviously there's a lot more out there, and you can study on the web. There's some good books out by Jacob Nielsen if you want to study more and see what some of his research has shown, and some things in his books. We've, over the years, purchased a number of those books and studied those extensively and got a lot of our education from those. We've also got a lot of our education from the School of Hard Knocks. My dad says that I have a doctorate in hard knocks, so sometimes we learn things the hard way. It seems like sometimes I have to do them 3 or 4 times to learn the hard way. So anyway, we'd sure like to thank Joseph for doing this presentation for us today. So thanks, Joseph.
My pleasure.
You bet. And we will be doing a webinar again next week. I'm not sure what the topic is, but to go out and sign up for our webinars, if you'll go out to ezneteu.com, and click on webinars, that will take you to the webinars page. It will show you the webinars that we've done. And as we record these and get them edited and post them up there, you'll be able to go back and review ones that you've missed or view ones that you've missed and review ones that you've seen. It will also allow you to sign up for the ones that are upcoming. We're just in the process of putting together the schedule of webinars for the rest of the year, so you'll be able to see all the topics that are upcoming. Again, if you'd like to make suggestions of webinars for us to cover, we'd be happy to take those as well. So thanks for coming today.